God's Word for our consideration this morning. God's Word to feed us. God's Word to nourish us. God's Word to strengthen our walk of life in Him is from the Gospel lesson. Now when you hear these words, it causes some trepidation. And yet our Lord wants to have trepidation in our lives. As He says to His disciples, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it be already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I've got a question for you, and I want you to ponder this question. As we go through God's word, I want you to think about this question. What are you afraid of? Think about it. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of heights? Are you afraid of flying? Are you afraid of even driving your car, especially in the streets and highways of the Twin Cities? What are you afraid of? Here our Lord brings His word to tell us something about fear and His grace and His mercy. You know, there's many things that drive us to fear and make us afraid. Well, Russell, he was a man, and he had something to say, especially when he heard that someone had cancer that was malignant. He would say, the big C has him. And he says that because his wife also died of cancer. And every time he heard the word cancer, he said, the big C has him. Jesus is coming to us today, not to talk about cancer, not to talk about heart disease, not to talk about fear of flying, fear of driving, fear of heights. He's here to talk to us about commitment. Yes, that big C word that we kind of want to put ourselves underneath the pew. We don't want anybody looking at us, especially when the lists go up on the door about serving at fellowship. We don't want someone asking us to do anything. A dear friend of ours, who was our neighbor for many years, and she and I would talk over the fence, and she was Wisconsin Synod, and she says, you know, I'm thinking about joining your church. And I'm going, it's not my church, it's God's church. Anyway, she's, you know, I've been thinking about it, but if I join, I don't want to do anything. I don't want you to ask me to do anything. I'm just going to go there and sit and listen. Karen and I kind of had this little laugh between us when we talked about her, because now she's one of the busiest people in that church in Lake City. You see, what God wants us to understand is that when we make a commitment, and it's a commitment between us and Him, He keeps His word. We fall away from that word. Think about it. Think about the vows that you made before God. Confirmation vows. I will follow Jesus no matter what happens in my life. No matter what obstacle comes before me, I will still follow Jesus. How many of us remember that vow? And how many of us remember how many times we've broken that vow. We break those vows, but God doesn't break His. He forgives us time and time and time again. He wants us to understand that He comes to us. He comes to us in His Word. He comes to us in His people. He comes to us to take away our fear, to take away being afraid, to talk about commitment and how that commitment lies within us. You know, you look back on Jesus and His 12 disciples, they have this commitment to follow Him. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking with His disciples and says, "Who do the people say I am?" Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're the prophet that has come back. Some say you're John the Baptist. "But what do you, who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood there and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember that time? Remember what Peter said? And then go a little further ahead, where Peter denies Jesus as Jesus is there before the Sanhedrin. And Jesus looks at Peter because He told Peter, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter denied Him. Not only that, we have a disciple, Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then we have Thomas. Oh, Thomas. Oh, we love to talk about Thomas, but he doubted. He doubted that Jesus rose from the dead. He doubted that He appeared before the disciples. And so the next week, the doors were closed and the windows were shut for fear of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hand and put your hand in my side and stop doubting, but believe." Jesus here is saying He's going to divide people. And how He's going to divide people is that one is going to confess Jesus and the other is not. And He's saying, here's a commitment. The big C that you have for your lives. I came for you. I came to live for you. To suffer for you. To die and rose again for you. To give you everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. And what did you do? You denied me. You turned away from me. You turned to the other things, the pleasures of life, rather than me. Jesus is saying, "Look, Christian, I have committed myself for you. I've sacrificed for you. I sacrificed my life for you. And now I'm asking you to commit yourself to me." And so we said the Nicene Creed. We say the Apostles' Creed. We say the Athanasian Creed, which is long and long and long. But all three of these creeds are making vows and confession. That we confess to our gracious God. We confess to our loving Savior. We confess to the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe. Yes, I am committed. The big C. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about how we are called in Christ for service and commitment. We're called to serve one another. We're called to lift one another up. We're called to encourage each other in our daily lives. We're called to help one another in our vows, in our confessions. I believe Jesus. That's a strong commitment. And you know, Paul says in the 1 Corinthians, he says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit is working in you each and every day. We kind of try to push it aside. You know, we kind of say, stay down there, Holy Spirit. I don't want you coming up and telling me to confess Jesus before all these people. You know, I can't do that. It's hard for me. So we push the Holy Spirit down, and the Holy Spirit keeps coming up and up. And the Holy Spirit stands behind us, and he's whispering in our ear the very words to say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ. And this Holy Spirit is coming to us to commit ourselves to serving Jesus. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't telling each and every one of us that we got to knock on doors around our neighborhood and say, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He's calling us with the gifts that he has given us. Some people can go up and knock on doors by just running across the street and say, no, you know Jesus? And I've told you before that God has blessed me with the gift of mercy that I can go into the hospital or the nursing home where some pastors aren't able to and minister to people in their dire need. God uses you in their dire need too. And you're thinking, no, well, not me. I'm stubborn. I'm horrible. But you know, he uses you. He uses you as you love your family. He uses you as you trust one another and encourage one another. He uses you with the gifts that he gives to you. The gifts that we have may be all similar, but the gifts are different. Well, a young lady plays the organ for us. Now, if I turned on that organ and started to play, you would run the other way, trust me. That is not my gift. I had to have a quarter credit from Concordia St. Paul to graduate in 1978, and the dean of students said, Scott, you know, you got a quarter, you're behind a quarter credit. There's a half credit piano that had fit into your schedule. Why don't you take that? And I said, sure, I'll take that. I went to piano and sat there and started playing, and my fingers started coming up, and the teacher slapped my fingers. I couldn't keep them down. That was not a gift. My children can play the piano. They can play instruments in a band. I can't. God's given us different kinds of gifts, but it is the same kind of gift to express that it comes from God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may serve one another, that we have a life of proclamation and share Jesus with those around us. Because when you confess Jesus, when you stood before God and confessed Jesus, it's a life of sacrifice. It's a total life of sacrifice. Each and every day of your lives, 365 days a year. And how many years God has for you to live on this earth, it's living in his service as a servant of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we began our service with confession. And I said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you your sins. Not by mine, but by his. He uses us. He uses us in occupations. He uses us to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior in our families and with others, so that they may know Jesus. I'm sure you some of you remember, and I don't remember the month, but 1980. In 1980, there were hostages in Iran. In 1980, Jimmy Carter was president, and he was trying to get those prisoners, those people who were held captive, released. They had a military engagement. 8 servicemen died in the desert. This was supposed to be a secret mission, but it didn't become a secret mission. So this gentleman, he was a Greek engineer who immigrated to this country, and it was right around that time. And he was so enthralled with the sacrifice that these people made to release the prisoners that he built a monument for them. He did all of this. He bought the monument. He sacrificed his life to make this monument and everything. And people asked him why. And he says, I owe it to them. I owe it to them because they sacrificed his life, their lives. What about you? Do you owe someone? We owe Jesus our life because Jesus came as a sacrifice, sacrificing himself for us to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. We owe Jesus, and we owe Jesus to stand up and say, I am yours. In Christ's holy name, amen.